Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Pennsylvania. T&Cs apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour 2 of The Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside and Scott Wetzel starts now on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159.
You are the man. It's hour number 2 right here on Moneyline. Time to have some fun. If you want to get involved in the show, you want to talk some Major League Baseball, NCAA action, NFL picks, wagers to start the season, do it. It's 844-843-6879. If you want to reach out on Twitter, you can certainly do that as well. Now, JP, tomorrow night, opening night, Buffalo Bills, Los Angeles Rams, kickoff, 8:21 p.m., it says. -2.5, a total of over 51.5. Now, Scott, you're going with a side here. And which side do you think he's going with again? Bills, Rams, what do you think?
Buffalo. Yeah, okay. I'm going to go Buffalo.
I'm going to go over 51.5 for JP here. So, JP, tomorrow night's football game, where are you actually going with this?
Yeah, and I'm going to take the home team, the Rams, plus the 2.5.
Let's see that? Wow. Let's see what he does to us? Yeah.
How see about that?
Look at that. Home team Rams. Upset alert. That's where he's going tomorrow. And my God, I can't wait. Like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to be so excited to go over these prop bets that I'm just going to be taking flyers on left and right here. Now, not taking a flyer here, Scott, as I teased before the break, Lamar Jackson. It's a lot of money on the table. Whether or not we think Lamar Jackson deserves it, it's very hard to go into a season knowing your quarterback wanted to get paid and you not paying him here. It seems like it's a lose-lose proposition. Now, my question to you, before that kickoff, let's just say 12:59 is the cutoff. Does Lamar Jackson have a new deal with the Baltimore Ravens, or is he playing this season knowing he was expecting to get paid, he wanted to get paid, the Ravens actually want to pay him, but they just couldn't come to an agreement here? Is that contract get signed or no?
I don't think so. Because there's no reason for Baltimore, knowing they could franchise him next year, Donnie. And this is not like before where these contract, you know, his contract in particular is going to be a top five contract, right? When everything is said and done.
Yes.
So even if they sign onto a 5-year, $250 million deal, it appears the Ravens are reluctant to do that. But you still got to figure out $50 million in cap space for that year. Yep. Whereas if you franchise him, you're going to have to pay him $40 million a year. So you're going to find $40 million in cap space. So the cap space type of thing is not a deterrent for Baltimore. So if I'm the Ravens and I want to play hardball, which clearly they want to do, I got him this year at a good price. I can franchise him next year. So I got two more years of Lamar Jackson. And if we haven't won a Super Bowl after 6 years with this guy, well, maybe it's just not happening. So I don't think, unless Lamar backs down, and I don't get the sense he's doing that, I don't think a deal's getting done.
Tremendous. And I can't wait. I love this. You know, the deadline's coming. We'll see if he does get paid. He wants to get paid before. And I love this also, Scott, where these guys say, no, after week one, we're not negotiating anymore because I can't concentrate. For me, I wouldn't be able to concentrate on the football season without knowing if I had a deal or no deal at that point. But let's hit the phone lines, 844-843-6879. As we like to say here, Scott, shout out to Virginia Beach. It's the X-Man on the line. What do you got today for us, X-Man on Moneyline?
I got a nice five-leg parlay that stretches into the weekend.
Now here we go. Oh, boy. Lay it on us.
Two MLBs today. The two MLBs come from the doubleheader, the Yankees and the Twins.
Okay.
Game one,
yep.
Yankees, money line. Game two, Twins, Joe Ryan, money line. Then the WPA.
Garrett Cole.
We're going to go with Chicago Sky money line to clinch their way to the finals. Then we're going to college football.
Yep.
We're going with Baylor Bears plus money to beat BYU. Then we going NFL. Oakland Raiders money beat the LA. I like that.
Look at that. So now, what is it paying out? Do we have the knowledge of what the payout is here, X-Man?
It's got to be big.
Yeah.
No, I see. He hit the. Yeah.
But it is,
we're just going to leave it at big.
What does it pay you? What does it pay?
16-1 I was going to. If you throw the women's tennis in with Iga Swiatek tonight, minus 24-1 24-1
He's got the whole board covered. This is what he does, Scott. Calls
She's
in,
not gonna
covers
lose.
The board, gets in, gets out, bang, 5 team. Now, I had to write that down because I can't remember anything after like 30 seconds. That's like an expiration in my mind. So we'll keep track of that one. Nice little 16-1 which you can upgrade to over 20-1 here with tennis. Are you following along on the U.S. Open, Scott? Big tennis guy?
Yeah. Not big, but I follow along with it. I definitely like it. So,
were you impressed with Karen's win yesterday over Kyrgios?
Yeah. How about that? You know, I was on in-game live, so we're kind of keeping track of that and a few others. That was amazing. Amazing only because he seemingly had calmed down and did all the right things and playing great tennis and all the obstacles out of his way, including Nadal. And it was there for the taking. I mean, that really, this U.S. Open shows why, men's tennis is the big three and that's it. You know, every opportunity these guys have to kind of break through, the main two or three that are supposed to, they can't. I mean, that was Kyrgios' tournament to win without Medvedev being in there and everything else. I mean, and he found a way to lose. Amazing.
I do find him interesting, too. Play doesn't go his way. Bang, that racket goes down. Oh, water bottle flying. And the fact that he argues with his coaching box throughout the match, sensational TV to watch here. We are cruising through hour number two. We'll be right back after the break. A lot more football talk, Major League Baseball on the way. It's Moneyline. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline, Wednesday afternoon, Wednesdays with Wetzel. Donnie Wrightside here as well. If you want to get involved in the show, it's pretty easy to do. 844-843-6879 right here on SiriusXM channel 159. Now this morning, Joe Ranieri and myself on the early line going over a couple week one NFL line movers here, Scott. So I wanted to get your take on this as well. Just picked out a few games where the lines are interesting here, moving up and down. One of those, which is a game that I don't think has a ton of interest from a fan perspective, outside of if you're a Colts backer, figuring they can do some damage this year with Matt Ryan. But that line from 8.5 now down to 7.5 at FanDuel and across the board, DraftKings, FoxBet, MGM, they all have it listed at 7. Are we seeing this game as, one of those public bets where, it's so easy to take the Colts, they should roll Houston, but is there value on the Houston Texans opening day? They won last year opening day over Jacksonville. Now, granted, it's Jacksonville, wasn't a very good team, but more than a touchdown in division here, do we see this line sticking around 7, or do you think it's going to go back to that 7.5 and 8s that we saw just a few days ago?
Yeah, FanDuel's got it at 7.5.
Yeah.
So, I think that Texans team can score some points with Davis Mills, believe it or not.
Me too.
He actually, out of all the rookie quarterbacks last year, he by far, or not even close, put up the best stats. I mean, the team stunk and everything, and a lot of it was garbage time stats, don't get me wrong. But he did show a little something. So they may be the kings of the, by the way, backdoor cover. So I'm not sold on Matt Ryan. I watched him play over these last 2 years. He's done. I don't think that Colts team they're going to get what they think they're getting out of him. I really don't believe that. So I would take the Texans plus the 7.5. I don't know if they necessarily win the game, but I do like them plus the 7.5. Well, and one thing real quickly with our last phone caller, I don't know where he's doing his shopping, but he better find a new supermarket.
It seemed a little light to me, Scott. Are you telling me it was a little light?
Yeah, 44-1 is what I have. And then if you put Swiatek in there, it goes up to 65-1. So unless he gave us wrong teams, but he said Yanks first and two against the Twins, Twins in a nightcap against Cole, which is plus 172.
Yep.
Chicago Sky money line was minus 188. Mm-hmm. Baylor money line plus 150. Raiders money line, he said, against the Chargers plus 154.
Yep.
That comes out to 44-1 on FanDuel. And then again, if you throw in the U.S. Open, it goes up to 65-1. So
now maybe he's like Robin Hood out there. He just doesn't need it, Scott. Like he's like, you know what? Just give me 16-1 sounds good. I'll win this, and it's no big deal at this point, so you don't cut me off. But make some sense there. It is a big swing, and we'll see if it comes through. Now the second game, and I wanted to ask you, you know, general thoughts on this one, because there are two teams, Scott, moving in different directions in the preseason and the OTAs. New England, you can't hear a good thing about New England. Their offense stinks. We don't know who the play caller is. Bill Belichick has lost it. Mac Jones has regressed, and there's not much talent on the offensive side of the ball for New England. Now, the Miami perspective, they hired the greatest coach in the history of the game, and McDaniel coming over from San Francisco. Anybody that's around Kyle Shanahan, you're going to be a sponge. He's going to be a wonderful coordinator. Tyreek Hill comes over. Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa looks great. They have great press, and that line goes from 2.5 as an opening marker now to 3.5. Are we being dummied by Bill Belichick, or is this really the new reality of the Patriots where maybe they're just not that good?
I'm not sold on them not necessarily being that good. But I do like the Dolphins. They beat them twice last year, you know, and they've had a history, believe it or not, of beating the Patriots in Miami and back to the Tom Brady days. They actually did very well against Brady. So Tua beat them twice. He played both games last season. They beat them three in a row, dating back to 2 years ago. That line was 2.5, and I remember telling people, you know what, jump on that, because I got a feeling that's going to go to 3 before everything's dead and said and done. And now it's up to 3.5, which really sucks. But I do think the Dolphins win this game, and as a Dolphin fan, I try and take my bias out of it, and it took me a little while, but I'm starting to buy in, Donnie. I mean, listen, they got great wideouts, they got speed, they got a good tight end, the defense was above average last year. You know, it all boils down to Tua, and you just kind of cross your fingers that they can get Tyreek Hill the ball 10 yards out, let him just run like he did a lot of times in Kansas City. They got a lot of weapon. That really should be a good football team. They really should. So I'm buying in on them. Not necessarily selling on the Patriots, but I think the Dolphins find a way to win by 7 or more points.
Yeah, it feels like a game, too, because, you know, we'll take a look a little bit down the card there in that Green Bay-Minnesota game, but it feels like this is Miami's game, like they have to win. Like, if New England surprises, and they actually flew down yesterday, so they're going to try to get acclimated to that heat for this weekend, which is expected to be temperatures in the 90s by kickoff, and that's always the home field advantage for the Miami Dolphins, but it just feels to me like Miami needs this game more than the Patriots. Like, if Miami comes up, let's just say final score 27-20, they win, hey, good vibes all around, Miami's going to take that next step. They're going to get to the playoffs, and we'll see what New England is. So I do feel a lot of pressure on Miami, but I'm with you. I'm just like the Philadelphia Eagles, where it seems like I'm a huge fan, but I'm like the last person to come around on the Eagles being like, you know what? They're probably going to be a pretty good football team this season. So we'll see where that game plays out. Now, one of them here in the Windy City, we talked about the Bears getting a new, you know, football stadium, and maybe that comes to fruition by 2026. Dome, no dome. Well, they're playing in Chicago. It's Soldier Field. One of my favorite things is Soldier Field, again, is going to replace the turf on the field with more grass, which they never seem can take care of. I don't know why they just don't bite the bullet and go get a nice, you know, AstroTurf in there that everybody can work with, because it's year after year. Oh, well, the Bears aren't on the field, and it's the city of Chicago, and nobody wants to pay for it. Enough with it. But Trey Lance, Justin Fields, 6.5 now, as we're seeing at the FanDuel Sportsbook, below 7. Are we worried about San Francisco, or are we just saying, you know what, San Francisco just should blow the doors off Chicago regardless? This game, your thoughts between the 49ers and the Bears here?
Yeah, I'm worried about San Francisco. I don't think they're going to be any good. I think this has got 17-13, you know, 17-14, 20-17, something like that written all over it. I'm not going to play a whole lot of unders this year in the NFL, but if I was, this would be one I'd seriously consider, right? With those two quarterbacks, I mean, could they try and one-up each other and play superstar and push it to a 21-20? Because that was at 40.5, I suppose. But I think I don't think the Bears are going to be, like, that bad. So it's kind of like with the Texans. You know what? I'm not a basher of Justin Fields. He is what it is last year. It's his first year. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I know they don't have too many weapons on that team, but you give me a team nearly a touchdown at home, I'm going to lean towards that team more times than not. This will be one of them.
Yeah, looking at also, you know, that opening line, which these lines came out a few months ago on FanDuel when they put them out for week one, 42. Now we're seeing 40 and a halves across the board. So maybe we are looking at a lower scoring game. But also, a question on the 49ers. I still don't have any reason. They bring back Jimmy Garoppolo, which is, they're trying to, oh, this is great, and then we'll have a good backup quarterback. But it just tells me that you're just not sold on Trey Lance. I don't care what they say about you need a backup quarterback. The reason why you drafted Trey Lance is because you didn't think Jimmy Garoppolo was good enough to be your quarterback. He gets to the Super Bowl, doesn't play all that well. Last year, doesn't play that well in the playoffs. You bring him back, and it's like, oh, this is going to be good, because somehow if he finds his way back onto the field, San Francisco is going to win a Super Bowl. But from a Trey Lance perspective, Scott, is he looking over his shoulder like, I have to make plays every single day to make sure I'm still the starter here? That's never a good thing for me.
I know. I'm sure they pulled him aside and said, don't worry about it. He's your guy. Here's the situation. You know, we couldn't trade him. We wanted to. We couldn't. He was injured, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, you know, I'm thinking, you know, this kid. And don't forget, you know, this kid, he's not coming from Ohio State or Michigan or Alabama. You know, he's coming from Topeka High Junior here. So you talk about being thrown to the wolves. That is a bad situation for him. I have more faith in the Bears with Fields than I have the 49ers with Trey Lance.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch it, but you're right about Trey Lance, because let's also remember, like, his last full year of college football, they didn't play the following year. He had, like, one, like, half scrimmage midseason. Then he comes to the pros, doesn't play all that much last year, and here we go. So it's not like he really sharpened. Hey, man, do you see him beat Alabama and Auburn on his way to the national championship, and now he's ready to go? Really hasn't been the case there, but that's certainly one to watch. A few more games that we're going to talk about here in week one with some of these line moves, and if we agree with those or not. Cruising through hour number two, right here on Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside and Scott Wetzel. If you want to get involved in the show, it's simple, man. Hit the phones, 844-843-6879. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Midway through hour number two right here on the grid. Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wrightside. Moneyline, 844-843-6879. If you want to get involved, quick update here. In Major League Baseball, bottom of the sixth inning, Mets 5, Pirates 1. 2-1 and 2 outs here for the Pirates, so threatening. And that threat is actually over at this point as they enter into the seventh inning. Mets looking to take game one of this doubleheader today, game number two. Jacob deGrom will be on the mound, but we are talking some NFL action here. Bringing up this next game, which this is fascinating line movement. FanDuel Sportsbook opened this game up at a minus four price between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Washington Commanders. This price now sits across the board, minus 2.5, with a total between 43.5 and 44. Now, an interesting stat that came up here, Jacksonville, Scott, did you know, has lost 16 straight games against NFC opponents? Obviously, the Guardians are an NFC opponent. It is week one. It's just this a slap in the face here for Washington saying, yeah, you got Wentz. Your team might be a little bit better than last year, but we don't trust you as far as we can throw you. Jacksonville Jaguars, legitimate chance here to take down those Commanders.
I think none. I won't say none, but I think this is one of the better bets on the board.
Ah, there we go.
Man, you're giving 2.5 Washington at home. Whether you believe in Wentz or not, it's certainly an upgrade from what they had last year. I mean, they got a running back. They got a solid wide receiver. The suspect defense, you know, really kind of failed to show last year. But it's not necessarily a pro Washington play for me, Donnie. It's an anti-Jacksonville play. I got to see something out of Trevor Lawrence. He's like the DJ ukulele, both Clemson guy. I got to see something out of DJ to make me think he doesn't stink, and I got to see something out of Trevor this year to make me think he's not going to be a bust, because he, you know, much like Zach Wilson, he was awful last year. I mean, just bad. He wasn't even throwing for 250 yards. He threw for 300 yards one time, once or twice. He threw for under 200 more times than he did 300. So I got to see something out of him. They're getting a lot of love. They're going to be one of my strong underplays. I do not like what I see out of Jacksonville. So I'm thinking Washington at home. The Commanders got to win this football game, right?
Yeah, a lot. Now, the line is coming below, which is interesting. Again, it's down to 2.5, so below a field goal. Jacksonville is getting a lot of respect, but if we remember last year, you know, also got a lot of respect week one. That was the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road taking on the lowly Houston Texans, and the Texans came up victorious in that game. So, again, back on the wagon, as we like to say, if you're cheering on Jacksonville to try to get that done. 43.5 seems a little bit low here because I do think both of these teams open it up a little bit, but it is one to watch, and that line is saying Jacksonville is getting some money, but if you are a line better here, way better to have 2.5 betting the Washington Commanders than betting on that 3.5 or 4.5. Now, Sunday night football, 8:20 kickoff. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to take on the Dallas Cowboys. The reason I'm bringing this game up, because this was 1.5 for quite a long time, but this week, game week, it's now risen to 2.5 across the board with a total of 50.5. And I know, Kevin, we argue all the time about Tampa Bay, but I'm telling you, normal rhythms of a football team with Tom Brady are locked and loaded. Nothing is getting in my way. Football is the most important thing in my life, and I will live and die every Sunday, and I better win that football game. But as we've seen, off-season implications of, I want to retire, I don't want to retire, I want to be a Dolphin, I want to be a part owner of the Dolphins, okay, I'll come back, but please kick Bruce Arians out of the head coaching chair, and now Todd Bowles is in there. I have so many question marks about Tampa Bay, but we'll see opening night if they're ready to go here, Scott.
Yeah. You know, what's funny about Brady, Donnie, is that he was for so long, in my view then, I'll just say, you know, this admired figure, you know, we're giving up a lot of money, always team, and, you know, then playing until his late 30s and now early 40s, and, you know, hey, geez, we're closing in on 50 here before too long. And it was always someone that you looked up to for the most part outside of a few scandals there in Patriots. But now, like this year, like, let it go, Tom. You know, you're 45 years old. You know, I'm reading all these stories about how, yeah, he's saying, yeah, I got a 12-year-old, I got a 13-year-old, I got a kid in high school that's playing football, and I got all this stuff. And I'm saying to myself, what are you doing? You're 45 years old. You won 5 zillion Super Bowls. You're going to be going down as the greatest quarterback of all time. What you know, you got your whole other life in front of you, and now you're hanging on to play football with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of all teams, not even like the New England Patriots. I mean, he's gone from this heroic figure to me to this sympathetic soul of like, man, you're really going to be lost without football. You have no regard. It's rare for me to take a woman's side on things, but, you know, this guy's doing a podcast now. He's doing TV shows now. He's got his business on the side. What, you know, do you not care about your family at all? It doesn't appear that way. So, I don't know. It just it's kind of a sour taste in my mouth with him, retiring and then coming back. It's just move on, man. There's more to life than stupid NFL football, for goodness sakes.
Kind of like where he went, like over the break. I mean, it's, you know, we had news where she was in Costa Rica. He flew down for the 11 days in Costa Rica to try to repair his marriage. But as always, we're just left out here to guess. Oh, was something wrong medically with Tom Brady? What's wrong with the family life? And my favorite part about the entire story was the national media, right, just took it as, hey, that's normal. Like, nobody's ever done this. Nobody has just said, I need over a week away from my football team as we get ready in training camp for the regular season. And everybody's like, yeah, we'll see him bright and fresh, and he'll be ready to go when he comes back next week. And I kept saying to myself, something is really wrong here. Because the one thing that we do know with football, as much as it is a physical sport, boy, if you're not into it between the ears, there are going to be issues, which is why I can't wait to watch. Now, having said this, if Dallas wins 31-30, oh, look at that, Brady shouldn't have taken off. No, that's not the case here. But if there are some, you know, chinks in the armor here on Sunday night and Dallas really puts one on Tampa Bay and we're questioning, like, does Brady even want to come back? That's what I want to see. So I can't wait for that game. Have you bet that game, or which way are you actually going with that one? Do you believe Dallas has a chance, or is this just say, look, I don't trust Dallas anyway, just give me Tom Brady as long as he shows up?
Yeah, that's it. I don't trust Dallas anyway. I really don't, right? You know, so give me Tom Brady, all the things that we're saying about him. But I'm still like, if I'm going to put money down on him, let me bet Tom Brady. Let me see him fail before I predict that he will fail. So, but, you know, no Gronk this year. You know, there is a lot of, you know, uncertainty with that Buccaneers team. You know, are the wide receivers playing? Are they healthy? Are they not playing? But I can't put faith in Dallas ahead of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, we'll see. Julio Jones, what are we going to get out of him as he changes numbers again? Yeah. By the way, when I was watching their preseason games, and he was number 85 catching passes. He doesn't, like, when he was 11, he looked like he was about 6'8", 245 pounds, and you couldn't stop him. When he was wearing 85, I was like, who is that guy? Like, it doesn't even look like Julio Jones. Like, he doesn't look as big, as fast, or as strong. So maybe it is the number, but he switched to 6 now entering into the season. But to start practice, there was no Julio Jones and no Mike Evans, which maybe they could have just been in the locker room getting out there late. But who knows? You're right. We don't know which wide receivers we are going to get. Now, if we flip it over, Scott, to see season awards in the NFL, talking MVP. And then Kevin and I went back and forth with this even a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Nobody even blinked an eye. Like, Josh Allen, still the favorite, 7-1. But Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady were always tied at 8-1, which they are today. And again, it's like nobody cared. Totals didn't change. Odds to win the NFC South didn't change, as if nothing was even going to happen. Now, a little bit different market than the Heisman Award. Justin Herbert, 9-1. Aaron Rodgers, 10-1. Joe Burrow, 12-1. Russell Wilson, 14-1. Are we still looking at this as Josh Allen's to lose? Is Patrick Mahomes not getting enough respect being the favorite here, or even Aaron Rodgers at 10-1, even he won two straight MVP awards, looking for a third straight with no wideouts. Any thought process here on the regular season MVP award here in the NFL?
I wish they could do it by division. You know, if that was the case, you know, sometimes you could make a bet, you know, where will the Super Bowl champion be from what division? Mm-hmm. They should do that with MVP. And if they did, I would be all over the AFC West. I think you got a, you know, live possibility in Justin Herbert, you know, with the numbers he put up last year and the expectation that they're going to take that next step. I think Derek Carr is in prime for a monster season with that Raiders offense. I like the Raiders a lot this year. Then obviously, Pat Mahomes is there as well, and you got Russell Wilson. I mean, so any of the four could realistically win it all. So I don't think it's Josh Allen. I mean, it might be Josh Allen's to win now, but that is a tough little start to the season. And if things don't go the right way for the Buffalo Bills, as you know, OJ put out a little Twitter feed, you know, he's such a goof. Rams, Tennessee, Dolphins at Baltimore. Three out of the four on the road. So that, you know, favorite spot for Josh Allen could quickly disappear if things don't get off for the right start for the Bills.
Now, is the hype right for the Buffalo Bills here, Scott, this year? Because I liked them last year, couldn't get the job done, but I do like them again this year. It's almost like you get that little ramp-up period where if the Bills don't get it done this year, you start to put blame on them. Well, maybe they're just not as good. But are they being a little bit overhyped this year, minus 230 to win the AFC East, Miami Dolphins plus 450, then the Patriots 5-1 and the Jets at a 20-1 spot? Are we overhyping the Bills, and should they be the favorite here to win the Super Bowl?
I don't think they should be the favorite. I really don't. You could say the same thing about the L.A. Chargers, Donnie. I think we talked about this before.
Yeah.
Chargers lose to the Raiders at home last week of the season last year. Don't even make the playoffs. The Raiders go farther, and yet no one's giving the Raiders any hope, and they've added on Davante Adams. And same thing with Buffalo. They lost to Kansas City, which, oh, by the way, lost to Cincinnati. No one's thinking Cincinnati has a shot, and then yet more people are saying Buffalo, which could even be KC, has a better chance. I don't get it.
Yeah, we're going to talk some overhyped teams in the NFL, then switch it over here to some college football because week two is on the horizon. And we're going to talk to Scott a little about getting tricked and that armchair quarterback saying, like, ooh, that team looked great, or ooh, they didn't look so good. And we have a feeling that those things might turn around, or will they, in college football week two. So a lot of football here on a Wednesday, getting you ready for an action-packed weekend overall. It's Moneyline on a Wednesday. Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wrightside, 844-843-6867.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
20 on the gun here on Moneyline on a Wednesday. Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wrightside, SiriusXM Channel 159, right here on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the telephone number. If you want to sneak in a phone call, you certainly can. Wrapping up some NFL talk here. Overhyped teams. And the reason, like, we can go through each and every team. Oh, this team's overhyped, this team's not. But I'm just looking at, like, divisional teams here at this point. Now, I want to take a look at the favorites, because obviously you can say, okay, the Eagles might be overhyped, but they're plus 130. They're plus money to win their division. The Kansas City Chiefs are plus 165. But some of these teams that are favored, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at a minus 230 price to win the NFC South, the Green Bay Packers at a minus 155 to win the NFC North, the Colts a minus 140 to win the AFC South, then we talked about the Buffalo Bills. Of these favorites to win the division, who would you say would be the most vulnerable, in your opinion, Scott? Would it be the Bills? Would it be the Colts? Would it be the Packers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Well, it's a number of them. If I had to pick one, I'd say Green Bay. I'm not high on Green Bay this year at all. And I think Minnesota would be the team that would rise up. I don't think it would be either one of the other two. But I think Minnesota. And I do think Tennessee will beat the Colts, but I think that's a little bit more of an even. I don't think that's that crazy of a notion. Whereas I think most people are just all over Green Bay again, just pick, if anything else, by default. But I think that's the team that could have some issues. And I even think Tampa Bay, Donnie. You know, you look at that New Orleans Saints team, and I got to tell you, they're loaded. That's another
thing
that's it's taken a little while for me to, like, you know, the more you do your research and you look at things, and then sometimes you look at the same thing one day, and then like 2 days later, you look at it and you say, wow, that's really great. And that's kind of how I look at the Saints team. I mean, they got a great running back in Kamara. You know, despite his off-the-field issues, it does look like he's going to be able to play this year. Yeah. Michael Thomas, if he can stay healthy and get his head on straight. Jarvis Landry and Chris Olave, you know, the number one pick at Ohio State, or, you know, first-round pick. I mean, that offense is loaded. Offensive line, you get a couple of first-round picks there. I mean, if Jameis Winston, right? I mean, can he just not throw the football away and just be a competent quarterback? The defense is second to none. I could see that Saints team causing some issues this year. So that'll be a third one. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, I think, with the issues with Brady. And then I do think Tennessee's going to beat the Colts.
Yeah, and then it's one to watch, because if you're down on Tampa Bay, you're getting a nice juicy price here for somebody to come and overtake them in that NFC South at plus 300. Now, also, we've talked a lot about NFL Week 1, and rightfully so. Tomorrow's the kickoff of the season, Rams and the Bills. It feels like we've been talking about this game, Scott, for months and months and months. Why? Because we have, and it would be nice once Week 1 is through in the NFL to get those fresh lines that we're going to see each and every week, to have those, you know, Monday through Friday type discussions. But in Week 2 for college football, I wanted to ask a question here, because, you know, teams improve in football, whether it be the pros, college, high school, whatever. Between Week 1 and 2, there's usually a big change where, okay, got this out of the way, we made our corrections, are we as good as we think we are, we didn't play so good, maybe we'll play so a little bit better this weekend. Thoughts heading into Week number 2 about teams that really showed out and some teams that came up short? Betting philosophies here, because the public sees what they see. Ooh, I don't think this team is as good as I thought they were. Ooh, this team might be way better than I thought they were. Just talk about some betting angles maybe heading into Week 2 that you can use to try to take advantage of.
Ohio State would be one, right? Yeah. Right off the bat, that's where I go. I mean, they did not look good at all. This is a team that was supposed to put 40 points on the board in the blink of an eye. And Notre Dame's defense, you know, should be solid this year, but still. But that's the one where maybe, just maybe, the lines come down just a little bit after we saw from Week number 1. So, I look towards Ohio State and get a little bit of that. Problem with some of these games is that they play cupcakes, right? You know, you have a tough game to start, and then they're playing Arkansas State. It's like, oh, geez. You know, Clemson, you know, tough little start, even though it was 41-10, ended up playing Furman this week. It's like, oh, you know, you can't bet against that. So it's difficulties like that that you kind of look in. But Ohio State would be the one that I would say, you know, didn't look too good. Miami on offense, you know, that's the team that, you know, people are kind of pointing towards that might be the one to upset the apple cart. But we hear that every single year with this
Miami, we do.
Excuse me, football team, you know. I need a couple of more wins. Michigan, just seeing them, you know, again, they're beating up on a nobody, Colorado State, but just seeing them kind of duplicate what they did at the beginning of last year gives me confidence on laying 30-plus this week to Hawaii. That would be another one. And then the obvious, you know, Oklahoma or Alabama and Notre Dame. And then USC, you know, question marks, you know, are they really going to be able to, you know, turn USC around, you know, for 1 week, Donnie? They obviously did. So that would be, out of all the teams that we kind of talk about to upset the apple cart to get into the Big Four, you know, USC seems to be the one team that people are putting a little asterisk next to, like, maybe that would be the team. And after 1 week, it looks good.
Yeah, and by the way, there's one game also. You saw last week, Utah goes down to play Florida and just fumbled the game away, made too many mistakes. But credit Florida. You know, the quarterback had a great game, 3 rushing touchdowns. You'd like to see a little bit more passing-wise, which, you know, he's an electric athlete. If you can get away with that in college games, you're certainly going to do it. But now they take on Kentucky. Kentucky heads down to the swamp. This line opened up at 6.5. Actually dipped down to as low as 4.5 at some outlets. But it looks like it's coming back to the 5.5s, the 6s, and even Fox Bet here in New Jersey at a minus 6.5. One of those teams where maybe you didn't expect Florida to win, even though it wasn't a monumental upset at that point, right? I believe Florida was only catching 2.5 points at game time there. Is that one of those teams where you might be sitting back and watching and saying, I'm not going to bet them this week. I want to see who the real Florida team is. Can they beat Kentucky? Because granted, they're home again. They have a great home field advantage down in the swamp, but they're favored by a pretty good margin, meaning Florida now, after squeaking one out with a late game interception, they're expected to win by a touchdown to get that win and cover here.
Yeah, and you know, and everyone's hopping on the Anthony Richardson bandwagon, but you know, he only threw for 168 yards. You know, they were running the ball, scrambling the ball. You know, ran for over 100 yards and his 3 touchdowns. So if that's the way they're going to be successful, okay. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that against Florida. Or against Kentucky. I like Kentucky. I think that point spread is way too high. You know, people kind of doubting, Florida and questioning what kind of team you're going to get. They come up with the victory. This is the classic, dare I say it, not letdown, but just the classic, you know, okay, we're hopping on your bandwagon letdown type of performance. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Kentucky win this thing outright. They were very good last year. They got their quarterback back. The defense is second to none. I expect that to be a one-score game. I would be all over the points.
Now, how about this one? Noon kickoff on Saturday, 3:35, 3:36 rotation, Alabama and Texas. Line sitting right around 20.5. Looks like DraftKings has it at 20. We'll see if it gets to 21 or even higher. Obviously, Alabama week one, 55-0, 55 points halfway through the third quarter here. You know, decisive, right? Texas is 1-0. It's a big game. It's at Texas here, but it's let's just say you're getting 3 touchdowns here. Sarkisian already came out and said, which I love, this game's not going to define us either way. Well, which way are you thinking about? You thinking Texas is going to pull off the upset and win by double digits over Alabama, and you don't think that's going to define your program? He's more than likely trying to say, hey, man, Alabama comes in here and hangs a 45-10 on us. They do that to everybody, so don't grade us on that just yet here. But in these bigger games that we're looking at, 3 touchdown margin, do we just look at this and say Alabama is just a machine, will go on the road into a tough environment and pace this Texas team? Or do we think Texas actually can hang around with Alabama this weekend?
No, I, you know what, Donnie? I'm jumping on the Alabama bandwagon early this year. It usually takes me 6, 7, 8 games. You know, I'm the last one to jump in. And then when I jump in, they fail to cover the spread. And then they'll finish up like 9-3 against the spread. And I'll bet them the 3 times that they don't cover. I'm not doing it this year. I'm not, you know, sometimes you say I'm not fooled. You know, you fooled me twice, 3 mm-hmm. times. You know what? This works in reverse. I'm not waiting. This Alabama team is a machine. They should be playing in the pros. They're going to demolish everybody. I bet Alabama. I don't care if you mentioned before. I don't care if the line was 30. I'm taking Alabama. I'm taking Alabama first half, laying only the 10. They're going to destroy Texas. This has got 55-10 written all over it. I would be shocked if Texas hung around this football game, even though it's Sarkisian and he may know Alabama's offense and defense a little bit since he's a former assistant coach. Yeah, who cares? Give me Alabama. Yeah. I'm not even going to think about it.
Yeah, just like Dan Lanning knew Oregon, right? I know everything about that Georgia program. Look pretty sharp there, pal. Way to get prepared for 49 on the board, which is a good segue over to Heisman Trophy odds. The reason I bring this up is Bryce Young, who is the quarterback here for Alabama, last week 5 touchdowns in the air, 1 on the ground. Actually ran for 100 yards last week. And go figure, Alabama needs a quarterback now that can actually run for 100 yards in a game. C.J. Stroud, 3-1. Caleb Williams out at USC, 6-1. Anthony Richardson, 18-1. And Stetson Bennett, fourth at 20-1. The reason I bring this up, because obviously Alabama is playing Texas, and you know, one of the best selling points of your program when you're fighting, besides saying, hey, you're NIL, you can make $5 million if you come here, is you go to my offense, you can win the Heisman, and you will profit off that your entire life. So the reason I bring that up, Bryce Young here, obviously got a good start out there, throwing touchdown passes. Over-under probably going to be at least 3.5 in this game by the time we get to game time here that you could probably bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook at throwing touchdowns. But my question to you is, Anthony Richardson, 3 touchdowns on the ground, electric performance. Who knows if he can continue? But the one that I have my eye on here, Stetson Bennett, 20-1 now with Georgia. Usually Georgia's winning games like last year. Hey, Stetson, don't blow it for us here. Make the passes when you need it. Throw it around here. We'll play really good defense and see what we can do. They won a national championship. He lit it up against Oregon opening day in that game down in the Georgia Dome, or what used to be the Georgia Dome, which is the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Does this mean going forward that they're going to open it up for Stetson Bennett and he's a true player here in the Heisman race for 2022?
He's got to be a player, right? Because I don't know if they're going to lose. So you would think you automatically gravitate to the quarterback spot. But Bryce Young put six touchdowns on the board last week. Six, Donnie. And he ran for 100 yards.
Amazing.
You know, five passing, one running, and he ran for 100.
Two and a half quarters.
Two and a half quarters, yeah, against a really good team, right?
Yeah.
So he's in a position, when you look at that Alabama schedule, and I mentioned this on many shows before, you know, how they're playing Austin Peay, I don't know. But, you know, they got UL Monroe on there, they got Vandy on there, they got Austin Peay on there. I mean, he could put up some monster, monster numbers this year if, you know, he's allowed to. And I got a feeling he will. So I think it's Bryce Young's to lose more than anybody else. You can put some flyers, you know, Bennett will be there because he's the quarterback, and maybe they feel bad that, you know, he didn't get much chance last year. Mm-hmm. I think it's Young's again to win.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to play out, too, because you still have Will Anderson up there, 30-1 as a defensive player, which is rare to have any defensive players even in the betting. Like, oh, I'll take 150-1 flyer at that point. DJ Uiagalelei, 40-1. They're expecting him, Scott, to make an impact here in the Heisman race, which, again, me and you joke about that. We don't think that's going to be the case. But how about this? Like Texas. Let's just say Texas is able to beat Alabama. The schedule not so daunting after that with the Big 12 outside of playing a team like Oklahoma, which would be neutral site in Dallas for the Red River rivalry at that point. Bijan Robinson, 40-1. Quinn Ewers, 50-1. Those guys, if they win, which is again a tall task here, one of those guys has to be a major factor in that and will shoot up there. If you had your druthers, who can have the bigger game this week against Alabama? The young quarterback that hasn't seen much college action, or Bijan Robinson?
You would think Robinson, right? I mean, they're going to go into that game not thinking they're going to throw the football and go war to war. They're thinking that let's run the ball. Might not work, but that's going to be our plan of attack. Keep the ball away from Alabama's offense. So I think Robinson would be the one. If he go for a 150 and a couple of touchdowns and they keep it even close, Donnie, you know, they might not even have to win the game. That might keep him in the race.
There you go. We got a big college football weekend. NFL on deck tomorrow. But you know what? The final segment that we have here on Monday Night each and every day, we give away some picks for the people out there to see if we can cash in some tickets. And we hope we'll do that. I got a Major League Baseball wager I'm dipping into. We'll find out what Scott has and also remind you of where JP is going. It's Moneyline here on a Wednesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here of Moneyline on Wednesdays with a Wetzel edition. Thank you guys for tuning in, but it's time to give out some picks. I got one in Major League Baseball yesterday. The player gave out a team total over 4.5 for the Guardians. What did they finish up with? Yeah, 4 runs. Thanks, guys. So today I'm going to hit the well again. But instead, the St. Louis Cardinals team total over 4.5 at a -128 price here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Let's get that with 5 runs. JP, remind the people again where you're going tomorrow night in the NFL.
We're giving it a look ahead to one day. We're doing Rams plus 2.5 at home.
There you go. The dog on Thursday Night Football getting the rings. And Scott, what do we got on deck tonight? What can we give out for the people to cash in on?
All right, we got 4 plays for you. Baseball, we're going to go with the Stankies laying a 1.5 against the Twinkies. Yanks 32-11 against Minnesota since 2015. This is game 2 with Gerrit Cole on the hill. No way they lose. So lay the 1.5. Tennis, we're going to go with the Swiatek, the number 1 seed on the women's side, laying 2-1, but that's actually not a bad little price. So I think she wins easily. Baseball, 2 strikeout props. Alex Wood over 4.5 for San Francisco. He needs 5. He's had 5 strikeouts or more, Donnie. 8 of his last 9 starts, including twice against the Dodgers. And the best one maybe of all, over now 4.5, Ken Waldichuk. Whoa. An A's, yeah, exactly. He's an Oakland A's pitcher. He's making his second start. He struck out six in his first outing. He averaged a strikeout and a half in the minors. And they go. He's going against the Braves, who are the number two most strikeouts in all of baseball. So over 4.5. It's up from 3.5 from 2 hours ago. But that just goes to show how good a bet it is. He gets at least six.
There you go. And yesterday, 19 runs combined between the Braves and the Oakland Athletics. Go figure out there at the Oakland Coliseum. That game is an afternoon game. First pitch out there. Fun episode once again here of Moneyline for a Wednesday. Tomorrow when you wake up, you will have NFL football just about ready to go. Thanks again for tuning in for us today. For Donnie Wrightside, Scott Wetzel, and JP behind the wheels of steel, we always cruise out here. This is the way we do it on the Sports Grid Network. Tomorrow, we'll be back for Moneyline again. Good luck on your wagers tonight.
You can get Sports Grid.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.